Welcome, everybody, to the What a Relief podcast on the Fish Stripes Podcast Network. I'm your host, Noah Berger. This is our final episode of the 2022 season. We have Richard Blyer here and the closer, or as some people like to call him, the flozer, Dylan Floro. How are you both doing?
We're doing wonderful.
All right. So I'm going to start with Dylan. This season started out a little bit later on for you. You started spring training a bit banged up. What went on during that time?
What did go on?
I was dealing with some shoulder stuff there again. It's been 2 years in a row now, so I don't just kind of dealing with that stuff. I mean, it's kind of hurt me the last 2 years. So going and changing this whole off-season program and mixing things up a little bit. So hopefully, I come to next spring training ready to go.
At what point in the season did you feel like you were back to like 100%?
I'd probably say for sure, probably the last two or three months, where I got feel like I had the life of my four seam back at the top of the zone and just executing pitches night in and night out.
Called strike three, and for the last time, it's a Marlins win.
An interesting stat that someone pointed out to me: you have a zero ERA when Nick Fortes is behind the plate. Is there something you guys do differently when he's behind the plate?
I didn't know anything about that, so I have no idea. I mean, I think we got two really good catchers, and that's just how.
What a politically correct answer, you know. Keep going,
Richard. I got many questions for you, but I'm gonna go with recency bias. The box. Take us through what happened and, like, your thoughts on the mound when that's all going on. And he calls the first balk, the second one, and then ultimately the third.
Let's get Floro's take on it. Floro, what do you think about the box?
I think...
Did I balk, yes or no?
You balked on one of them for sure. I agree with a lot of people. We had these conversations.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
So have you seen John Boy Media's breakdown?
Yeah,
just watched that.
We watched it as a group.
Where it shows the side by sides.
Yeah. So the box, the first one, maybe I got a little sloppy with the, only because I'm facing Pete Alonso as in the eighth inning or whatever inning it was, and I still don't see it. Whatever. I just haven't seen it. I do give the umpire credit, though, for having the willpower to call three, you know? Good for him to go out there and really make that example of me as you know. They got an email, apparently, about we're going to start enforcing the coming set thing, and he went out there and enforced it to the best of his ability.
Did you get a chance to speak with John Tompain at any point afterward?
So I pitched the next night, and he just came out there and said, "You know what we're looking for?" I said, yeah, fully aware of what we got going on now. And he said, "Okay, cool." And that was pretty much the end of it. So you know, it's all good. He's doing his job, and that it's his opinion, and it obviously doesn't matter what my opinion is because I wouldn't have called box against me, you know. But I also would call every pitch a strike, and it's not. So it is what it is. Hopefully I don't do it again. It's embarrassing.
So you got your first save of the season this past weekend in Milwaukee. The question for both of you, and I'll start with you, Richard. What the mindset going when you were coming onto the mound in different settings, in higher leverage, how does it change your approach when you're pitching in, let's say, the seventh inning as opposed to pitching in the ninth inning with the game on the line?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I was actually thrilled to go in the ninth for that save, knowing I'm taking a save away from Floro. It made my day.
2-2. Ground ball. Birdie at second. Has it. It's a Marlins win. A come-from-behind win with two in the ninth inning.
And that's all I was thinking about. Every out, I'm like, I just need to get this save so Floro doesn't get it. No, he wasn't available to pitch or else he would have been in there. For me, I always treat, like, I haven't pitched in the ninth. I don't project as a closer with the stuff. So I haven't pitched in the ninth much. But with the lead, In general, I think if you make it a big deal, it becomes a big deal. So I just try to go out there and make my pitches, whether the score's 1-0 or 5-0 or it's the 7th or the 9th or the 5th. I just think that I'm trying to execute pitches.
And the same question for you, Dylan.
Yeah, I agree with him. I mean, I think the more pressure you put on yourself, the more chances you're going to end up leaving a pitch over there. I mean, and later in the game, when you get to the 8th, 9th inning like that, you got to execute each pitch. I mean, I know a lot of times you put too much pressure on yourself, but what I've learned over the last couple of years being able to get the chance to close is just go out there and trust my stuff and just execute and have a game plan at the theater.
So you guys pretty much already answered my question on if there's any internal competition between you guys. It's pretty obvious there is. What would each of you consider to be your best or your favorite pitch to throw in your arsenals?
I like the ones that get outs.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't say I could pick one pitch. I mean, it just depends on who I'm facing, how and when I set them up. Like, some days, like this year, it's been my slider. Last year, it's been like my changeup.
I know my favorite pitches for him. His slider, since I coached him on it, and the four-seam up and into a lefty. Because I know if he's able to throw the four-seam up and in, everything else is going to be really good.
Back to specific questions. Your walk-up song, For Whom the Bell Tolls, when did you decide to use that?
I didn't decide to use that at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Who decided it?
Who did decide that? It wasn't me. It was somebody else. Somebody just picked it for him.
Somebody
didn't care.
Picked it for him, and then they turned into a whole big thing.
The first time, because he was the closer last year, and we wanted some cool song for him. And he's like, oh, I don't care. I'm Floro. I don't care. And so what was it the first time? Wasn't it like...
Yeah, like Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet Boys or something. But that was really bad. So we went with somebody picked, Metallica song or whatever.
I think so.
It goes with the music. It's cool.
So you pitched in the World Series in 2020.
Oh, God, here we go.
And what was it like going through that season in the postseason of that year without any fans in the stands, and then all of a sudden in the World Series you had limited fans in that new Texas ballpark? So what was that like going through?
I got a taste a little bit of playoff stuff in like in 18 there, so I think it helped me prepare for a little bit going on 20. I mean, it definitely 18 to 20 when you have the fans and all and that stuff involved makes it feels like it's 10 times exactly what really is going on. I mean, it's still just a game we're playing here, and you got to go out there and execute a pitch.
Where do you keep your World Series ring?
I think it's just at home somewhere.
Is it full size or is it a little smaller since it was a shorter season?
It's a full size ring. Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Same as your playoff shirt you got.
Shh, can't talk about that stuff. Can't talk about money. You know that.
Well, speaking of
sure.
Speaking of money, you signed a 2-year contract for the season. You said, "Don't give me money, I'll spend it."
You said that?
I said it to Jazz. Like, I should have choose my words a little wiser, knowing I was negotiating a contract.
Don't give me money, I'll spend it.
I was just joking with Jazz. Carry on. I know where this is going. Yeah, I bought something.
I know you bought. You bought a Tesla.
No big deal. You know, the environment
and
stuff.
Are you enjoying it?
It's the best car on the planet. Since I bought one, there are more have shown up in the player's lot, just so you know.
They're everywhere.
So I have heard. I hear there's a bit of a battle over the Charger spot.
Absolutely. It's a serious problem.
So we talked about him. We talked about Dylan pitching in the World Series in that new Rangers ballpark. You've pitched in every ballpark other than.
I pitched in the old, yeah.
Other than the new Rangers ballpark, of all the ballparks you've been to, what's your ideal setup and what's your favorite ballpark to warm up in? Which bullpen setup is your favorite?
Oh, okay. So warm up in?
Warm up in and then go out to pitch.
Yeah, I thought you were going to ask about just my favorite. So my favorite ballpark to play in is Atlanta. But specifically, warm up in, probably Chicago because it's up and under there. There's nobody to.
No one picking up?
Yeah, nobody making fun of me for how slow I throw. Yeah, maybe Chicago. Other than that,
I mean, warming up wise, I think they're all.
As far as coming from the bullpen into the game, I would probably go Oakland because it's the shortest jog in.
It's shorter than Tampa's?
It's probably about relative, same, yeah. Yeah. I'll go Tampa because I can't give Oakland the best at anything. No offense to Oakland. It's just the bullpen situation is rough for us. I will say that.
Are you guys ever like scared when you're sitting in Oakland and Tampa when you're sitting along the side and for a foul ball can come? You guys have to pay more attention? You're less relaxed out there? You're more tense?
No, we actually have a lot of fun with those guys, the ball guys. The Oakland guy, that was a lot of fun this year with that guy. He was making plays for us, so I think it was entertaining.
So, Richard, you grew up in Miami. There's a picture of you at your bar mitzvah, I think.
Yeah.
What shul was that at, out of curiosity?
Where's this picture at?
It's, I'm sure he has it, whatever.
I can show it to you afterward.
In Cooper City, it's no longer around. I don't, Temple Beth, not Moshe, that's Beth Israel. I don't know. I don't remember what it's called. It was when I was 13. I don't remember what I did yesterday.
It was in Cooper City. I probably could find it, but.
It's no longer there. No, I know that. There. It's like, I don't even, whatever. It's not there anymore. It's something else.
Did you, what year were you drafted?
2008.
What year? Yeah. Were you in high school?
Pre-computers. 2005, I graduated high school.
So did you grow up going to Marlins games?
I did, yeah.
So what's it mean to you to end up pitching for the team that you grew up watching?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's been a great experience. At first, coming over in 2020, in the middle of COVID and when three-quarters of the team had COVID, was definitely an interesting time, But as I kind of got settled in and acclimated to the Marlins, I realized that it's going to be a great setup for me playing at home and spring training in Jupiter, not in Arizona. So it's been a lot of fun. And I think a bonus has been being able to see the players that I watch come through, like Juan Pierce around and like Dontrell Willis and Cliff Floyd. Like these guys, I hate saying I grew up watching them play because I don't want to age them or whatever, but, you know, like those guys that when I was in high school, when I was really watching the Marlins, they were on this team and thriving. So it's been really cool to kind of meet them, really, fanboy.
So question for both of you. We'll start with Dylan. You got any off-season plans?
Not really.
Yes, you do.
I just bought a new RV, so I'm probably going to do some going on camping and hang out with the family. It's been a while, so I haven't got to see them in a long time.
You like to camp?
Yeah.
Nice. So we both have families, and I've got a kid on the way, so I'll be doing, thank you, I'll be doing child things.
Starting all over.
And the World Baseball Classic coming up.
Yeah.
How much is that going to affect your preparation for next season?
It's in spring, so it's kind of, you know, you got to be game ready, whether it's in a spring training game or a World Baseball Classic game. I think you kind of have to be a little bit far. You don't want to embarrass yourself in front of that kind of audience, but you know, I have plans this off season, baseball wise, and things I want to improve on. So I'm definitely motivated and looking forward to getting started sooner and getting those things, getting to work on that.
So you mentioned wanting to improve on stuff. Is there anything specific that you want to improve on from previous years, and anything specific you want to improve on going into next year?
Just refining pitches and. Building off of kind of the second half where I made a few changes in my pitch selection and really just what I'm using and what I'm throwing and just making those pitches a little bit better and figuring out what works in different situations more so. So I relied heavily on sinker cutter last year and earlier in the year it kind of it wasn't working, and so I started using my changeup more and my slider a little bit more to righties, mostly to righties, and my four seam a little bit more, and so I just want to get the best versions of those pitches and figure out the best spots to use those pitches in.
Before I ask Dylan the same question, just going back to...
I think I'm talking a lot, and he's barely talking.
There's a possibility that Team Israel could play against the Marlins in a spring training exhibition game. Who on the team are you most looking forward to facing?
John Birdie.
Why?
Very specific reason. When he plays left field, I warm up with the outfielder in like the fifth inning every time, and he cannot even catch my sinker.
You throw it at the wrinkles.
So I know for a fact he's not going to hit it. So I'm looking forward to facing him.
You throw it at the wrinkles.
No, I don't. He cannot catch it. It's right at his chest. Hits him in the thigh.
Or over there.
Ask Bert. Let's ask Floro a question.
Is there anything specific that you're looking to improve on going into next season?
Improve on just fine-tuning my pitches and stuff like that. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, my changeup has been 50-50 this year, and just improving my slider, just trying to make it even more consistent, even better, just because right now it's been really good for me the last month or so, and just trying to improve on that so I get execution, and then all my pitches kind of fine-tune them so everything's ready to go at the beginning of the year.
We're really hoping Floro can come into spring training healthy. That's his biggest thing he's looking forward to this offseason. So we changed his plan. He got with me. We talked it over. We got a new plan this offseason. We're going to do something.
I don't think it has much to do.
And so he's going to come in, and he's going to act like it, and he's going to be pitching like it's September and April. Right?
Yeah.
See?
So, one more question before we get to the little short quiz that you are being graded on. Anthony Bass asked me to ask you guys how your marriage is going.
Oh, we're doing great. We're rock solid. 2 years going on 100, yeah. You know? It's really, couldn't get any better.
Yeah.
Yeah?
So, yeah, I guess.
I guess.
Started gaming a little bit.
Yeah, we hang out at. We're hanging out outside the field and everything. This is moving along steady.
A little better than last year.
Maybe he'll even talk to me this off season. Respond to my texts. Who knows? You never know.
We'll see. That's pushing it.
Yeah.
All right. So I have, it's 9 questions.
Oof.
And it's based on both of your careers, because you guys have very similar career numbers.
Between the
two of you, who do you think has pitched the most career innings?
Oh, me for sure.
I would say Richard, because that's a year on me.
So you have pitched 298 and 2/3, and Dylan Flora, you've pitched 275.
Rookie. You've only done that your whole year.
Between the two of you, who has the most wins?
Definitely me. I've got a lot of wins. How many wins do you have?
Probably me. I'm just going to say me.
So it's actually Dylan. Dylan has 21 wins, and Richard, you have 14.
Sorry, buddy.
21?
Yeah.
It's probably all those blown save wins type deals, you know?
Which one of you has the most career balks?
Probably me. I don't know. Have you balked at all?
Yeah, I got one for sure. We don't need to talk about that.
Well, I definitely have 3.
It's probably more embarrassing than yours.
What'd you do, drop the ball?
No, blew the game. Blocked. Walk off.
Brutal. I should have looked this up before I brought it up.
You balked a run-in to blow the game?
Yeah.
With the Dodgers?
Mm-hmm.
No wonder they canned you.
Okay, we can keep going.
No wonder you're a Marlin. Okay, so we both have embarrassing balks, but I have 3 embarrassing balks, and he only has 1 embarrassing
balk. He has 2.
What was the other one?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't remember that one.
I'll have to look it up. Who has the lower career ERA?
Oof, I've been giving up a lot of runs lately.
I think Richard has it right now. He had a good career ERA coming into it.
Yeah, but I'm blowing it.
Your career ERA, Richard, is 3.07, and yours, Dylan, is 3.17. Mm.
Oof.
Very close.
Used to be in the 2s.
Which one of you has the most home runs allowed?
Oh, we both don't give up that many homers. How many have you given up this year? I think I'm only giving like 3.
I think I give like two or three.
I would say him probably least, so me the most.
So, Richard, you've given up 19. Flora, you've given up 16.
Yeah, I got that one right.
Yeah. Which one of you has the most career strikeouts?
Me.
Definitely him. I don't strike
out. Yeah, it's Flora by a wide margin.
Yeah, I was waiting for that one.
That's a joke.
Most career that. Saves?
Flora, I have.
Yeah.
Most career wild pitches?
That's tricky. I don't know.
I probably have. I think I had two in one inning this year. I don't know how many he has. I can't recall you ever throwing one, so I'll go with me.
So, Richard, you have 13. Dylan, you have 7.
Yeah. I got you in everything.
And most career hit batsman.
I hit a lot of people.
I hit some people. Probably me, too.
Yeah. Richard, you've hit 15. Dylan, you've only hit 4.
Oh, pump those numbers up. Let's go.
All right. So, thank you, everybody, that has listened to this throughout the season. Thank you to anyone who's listening now. Thank you to Fish Stripes for giving me the platform to do so. Thank you to the Marlins for giving me the access. Thank you to Richard and Dylan for coming on to this, even though they were about an hour late.
Didn't bail on you the last time
I'm
all together?
Sure, we're supposed to do this like a week ago.
I feel
don't they bash us all the time and we're still doing their podcast? Keep going.
This has been the Water Leaf Podcast on the Fish Stripes Podcast Network. I'm your host, Noah Berger. Thank you very much. We will be back next season with more from the Marlins bullpen.